When I am humble, I don't think less of myself. I think about myself less. This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. When I am humble, I don't think less of myself. I think about myself less. There are so many times that we wonder, how can you be humble? What does it mean to be humble? Does that mean to kiss somebody's foot or something like that? To be humble, does that mean to put yourself down, to belittle yourself? To be humble, does that mean that you're supposed to be inferior to something else or somebody else? Well, in a lot of people's books, that's what it means. But in ours, it doesn't mean that at all, does it? What does it mean in our book? In our book, it means you think about yourself less. Not a matter of thinking more about yourself and thinking, how can I be humble, but just thinking about yourself less. Now, we teach that you're number one and you should be thinking about yourself. You should put yourself up first. And now, how does that fit in with this think about yourself less to be humble? Well, number one, what does number one think about? Does number one think about their physical self, their mental self? Or does number one think of ideas and projects and plans and dreams and desires and programs? When you say, I'm number one, do you mean that you, as a human being and as a divine being, are superior to somebody else? The answer there is no. To say that you're number one, you're saying that you are the best you can be. Now, perhaps that's a better way to word it. I am number one. I am the best I can be. I am the best I can conceive of being right at this moment. Now, what about tomorrow? Tomorrow comes and you find, hey, I can do this now too. I couldn't do it yesterday, but I'd do it today because I hadn't known about it. And what about the next day? And the next day and the next? Every day compounds into a beautiful expression of who you are, of you being something even more beautiful all the time. Can you be that? No. A lot of people are so busy trying to mollycoddle up to other people, trying to get other people to like them, get other people to approve of them, that they don't even think about what they're doing. They're spending their time trying to make something happen instead of spending their time being the happening. If you like yourself, you do things you like to do. You walk, you skate, you swim. If you like yourself, you read, you dance, you play. If you like yourself, you eat. That's right, I think it worked. You eat and you enjoy it. If you like yourself, you do all the things that make you happy. No. Does it make you happy kissing somebody else's foot? I can't imagine it make anybody happy. I think it only makes them happy to the point they think that something's going to come from it. And you know what's going to come from it? It's probably like our dear friend Swami Rama. Remember him? He went up to be trained by one of the gurus in India. His master sent him over there to be trained. And when he got there, he found this guru to be a big, fat guy, and he was naked. And those two things didn't turn Swami Rama on. He always wore a loincloth, and he was always properly acquitted, you know, under all circumstances. So he comes up to this guy, and he bows down to the guy, and he wants to kiss his foot. And so the guy, who knows exactly what he's thinking, he kicks him, and he rolls down the hill over all the stone down into the creek below, which is quite a little distance. And then Swami Rama came up the hill all angry and upset, and he says, why did you do that? I came here to study from you, and, you know, you treated me badly. And the guy said, when you are ready to really be humble, then you come here. But if you're going to judge me, or any part of me, or any part of the world, then you're not ready to learn what I have to share with you. And the Swami went away. he wasn't the Swami, of course, at the time, but the student, Rama, went away, and he came back much later, and he said, I'm ready to study. And the master could see that he was ready to study. He could see right through him. He read him like a book. But until there's that humility there, we are not able to take on any new understanding, any new learning, any new awareness of who we are. But once we have that humility, once we know, thinking less about ourselves and more about the wonderful world we live in and all of the exciting things that are happening, then those exciting things take place for us. Are you ready for that? I'm ready for that. How are you going to be ready for it if you're not? Well, it means just thinking less about yourself. I hurt. I'm unhappy. Nobody loves me. Everybody's taken from me. Everybody's using me. You ever heard those terms before? Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You've used them. And they're not very nice. But what is it that they all say? They say, you have given up yourself to the world. You have given up control of yourself so that you can get something. Now, what is it you want to get? Well, you want to get wealth, money. You want to get success. You want to get, power, you know. You want to have control over other people. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? If you don't want any of those things, then why are you doing these things to others to get them to appreciate you? Why are you bending over backwards to be nice to people who are just going to misuse you? Why are you doing that? Well, you do it because you have a false opinion of where your good comes from. Your good only comes from within you. And you should really be bending over backwards for yourself. You should really be loving yourself and treating yourself with great reverence and great admiration. Because when you start treating yourself with that great love and admiration, you will never be able to see anything in the world that is contrary to yourself. Because all the world is a reflection of who we are. Now, if you see bad people in the world, and you oftentimes do, that's because you're a bad person. And that's not meant unkindly, that's just a fact. If you ever see anyone misusing you, that's because you misuse others. If you ever see yourself not healthy, that means because you're looking at the world and seeing them not healthy. Do you go around seeing where all the wheelchairs are and where all the crutches are and where all the things like that are? Do you like to go to the doctor's office? Do you like to have the doctor's opinion on things? Why do they say you should have two opinions? One doctor may be looking for something to satisfy your need to be something, to have something, and the other doctor may be looking at you from the point of view that you're whole and perfect and you're fantastic right now. Now, I'd rather go to the doctor who is intelligent enough to see a problem in me than to go to a doctor who can't even see what's in me. Well, okay. It tells you where you are. You want to be sick. You want to have a problem. You want to go to a doctor who will give you the prognosis of what you believe. Ellen always goes into the doctor's office and says, I'm whole and perfect. You want to check me over? He says, well, you're already done. But the doctor checks her over and sees her whole and perfect. Now, if Ellen went into the doctor's office and said, oh, I got this pain and I got that pain and I got this, oh dear. Well, the doctor's going to look and look and look until he finds something, even if it's nothing. Even if it's nothing. They have a rule in taking a blood pressure test. You know that? They do. They have a rule. Sit still, put both feet flat on the floor, and put your arm with the palm up on the table, same height as your heart. Now, if you move around while you're taking your blood pressure, you're going to get a different pressure. You're going to get a different report. You're going to get higher pulse. You're going to get higher diastolic and systolic pressure. You're going to get all those things in the most interesting way. Now, What if you didn't know you're supposed to keep still? Well, what does a doctor do when he's taking your pulse, or a nurse? What do they do when they're taking your blood pressure? They hold your hand. They hold your arm. They put that thing on your arm and make it tight and blow it up until your arm feels like it's squirting everywhere else but in. And they're holding your hand, so it's just steady. Because they say they're taking your pulse, you know, while they're doing it. But it's just a means of keeping you still. And oftentimes the nurse would say to me, now while I'm taking your blood pressure, don't talk. Because I talk very actively, you know. And she wants me to be still and quiet. But I've been experimenting myself. And I've been going in and taking my blood pressure. And I've been jumping up and down and moving my feet back and forth and looking here and looking there and talking. And you know what happens? My blood pressure is the same as when I don't do that. Now, what does that say? It says that that rule is all in your head, you know. And as most illnesses are, they're all in our head. Well, that's not true, Herb. That's not true. You're messing up our whole blood pressure thing by saying such things like that. Well, hey, if other people still believe it, you got it going, you know. But I'm just sort of a rebel, and I do my own thing, and I'm not disturbed by these things, you know. I take a 3-mile walk around the property, and I am really moving along and enjoying myself, and I'm climbing the hills and climbing the mountain, coming down and climbing, and then as soon as I get back, I take my blood pressure test to see how it is. And it's wonderful. In fact, when I was told I had high blood pressure, my blood pressure was the lowest after I'd done those things. Now, maybe that's because I had my tubes all cleaned out with the blood pumping in and out. And then when I would sit still and relax, then I'd have a different test, a different reading. But now, my readings are all the same. Whether I walk up and down the hill, or whether I sit still, or whether I do anything or not, they're all the same. And this is how it should be. This is how it should be. When I'm humble, I don't think less of myself. I think about myself less. This is something very important for all of us. For when we start really being humble, when we start really being concerned about listening to the right leader, then we will be perfect in every way. Now, you know you're all supposed to listen to me. I'm the right leader for you. And if you think I'm the right leader for you, I've got you fooled. Because you're the right leader for you. You're the only leader for you. You're the only person that makes any difference in your life. And the sooner you start recognizing that, the better. So, think on these things. When I'm humble, I don't think less of myself. I think about myself less. So I have a wonderful, happy, dynamic life because I see you humble as can be. I love you.
Thank you.
I love you. I love you.